This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message, that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is all to the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North for the week of December the 14th, 2015, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television from north and south of the 49th parallel. I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Diane Wild.
And I'm Greg David.
And we would like you to put your television on mute for episode 195 of TVA, the podcast. I can tell you this, everyone, for December the 14th, 2015, today in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of about 15, 16 degrees Celsius.
Whoa.
Yes, it was. They were saying that it was here in Toronto, it was 13, and they're saying that that was the same temperature in Los Angeles. So Hamilton was even warmer than Los Angeles. Good for you.
Yay, Hamilton. Wow. And let me guess, I don't know what temperature it was in Vancouver, but I bet it was raining.
No, it was not raining. I actually don't know what temperature it was either. It was probably around 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock.
Eight o'clock.
8 degrees. I've been on vacation, and I think my brain is still there.
So where were you on vacation, Diane?
Did you say why or where?
Where were you on vacation?
Where I was in Florida. Where
did you go to a space center?
I did not. This was not a nerdy vacation.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, other than the fact that I was there, and therefore. It was potentially a nerdy vacation. No,
can we call it a nerdcation, please?
Okay, yes, we can. No, it's funny. It was exactly a year from when I went to Orlando to see a rocket launch. But no, this time I was in Key West and Miami just doing vacation-like things.
Okay.
And Key West was, they were both warm. They were in their 20s, but Key West, very little sunshine. So I can't really rub it in that we had more summer than you guys had, because it doesn't seem like it, really.
Did you, like, have a rented car and drive down along the...
Just for the one day, just to go from Miami to Key West, yeah. And then we took a bus back, because it's kind of a tedious drive, and my friend doesn't drive, so it was all on me.
Okay. Well, there you go. But it must have been nice. Sounds like
it was. It was very nice, yeah. Yeah, I went snorkeling a little bit. And
ooh, snorkeling. Well.
Sort of stumbled into this, like, art walk thing in Miami on Saturday night, so it was... Yeah, no, it was great.
And how many Canadian television news stories did you file from there?
I did do a link from my phone. I didn't bring a laptop, but, you know, when they announced that the Anne-Marie MacDonald Fall on Your Knees is being made into a miniseries, this is the first confirmation, like a kind of official confirmation we got. So I did post that from my phone, but that's really all I did.
Okay. And Greg, were you in Florida this week?
No, I was not in Florida this week.
Uh-huh.
Greg was working.
Uh-huh.
Are you trying to, like, make me feel bad?
I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to make us feel bad because we weren't in Florida.
You
could feel good. You were in Florida.
True.
Exactly.
But it was almost as warm as Florida here.
It was. It was quite warm. So, folks, this may or may not be our last episode before the holidays. We'll see. We'll see how next week goes. We may have a special episode, a very special episode of TVA, the podcast.
You will learn nothing, but...
Exactly.
Unlike those other specials.
It's like, you know, a very special episode of Blossom.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, keep your eyes out on the feed next week. And if you've got your podcast aggregator, refresh it, because next Tuesday something may be coming up. We'll have to see. I don't know what that will be. Except to say that tomorrow as we release the podcast on December 15th. Diane, you know what that is.
The Ides of December.
Yes, exactly. See, I've got you trained so well with
Ides
now.
You really do. I don't even protest anymore. I just say it.
Exactly. Is that a thing? I thought it was only
no,
in March.
It's not, oh, yeah,
okay.
See,
the
now,
Ides yeah. just means the 15th.
Oh, really?
No, yes.
Now you have to train Greg. But yes. No, that's. But it's really not a thing.
The Ides just means the 15th.
But it's not. Oh. It's not a thing unless it's March.
It actually means like the middle of the month, so to speak.
Oh, okay. Yes. Cool.
See, there you go. See, Greg thinks it's cool, Diane.
Well, I think it's nerdy, Anthony, but
see, it's like
I guess that's my version of cool.
You can learn something new about Shakespeare every single day.
Exactly. folks, before we get to some of the news this week, and before we get to a rant that I've got saved up in my head, We are going to kick over to what I believe is everybody's favorite part of the show. It certainly is mine, the beverage
with
update.
Absolutely no proof, but we will believe that.
Yes, it's the beverage update.
Yay!
So Diane, you're going to kick things off this week. I don't know if there are eggnog involved, eggnog drinks, or if there is a spiced something or candy cane something. Or
I am woefully lacking in the Christmas beverages, even though I do have something. I keep talking about how I have this Kahlua peppermint mocha thing, but I haven't actually been drinking it on any of the podcasts because, I don't know, It's very different.
I mean, well, I know why you haven't been drinking it, because it tastes like crap.
It does not. It's like an alcoholic peppermint mocha. How can you go wrong with that?
Oh, well, that's wrong by itself.
But I do have, I guess, pear vanilla rooibos. I could pretend that there's something Christmassy about that.
Pear or hair?
Pear.
Oh, okay.
Like a partridge in a pear tree.
Ah.
Yes, so there's pear vanilla rooibos. Though, I mean, that did remind me that David's Tea has something called Santa's Secret Tea that I really like, and they only have it around this time. So
let me get this straight again. It's a pair of vanilla rooibuses?
Yes, okay. And they're all in a tree.
Okay.
So I've had that rooibos before. I have pineapple sparkling water.
Is it pineapple upside down sparkling water?
No. Damn. But kind of, you know, going with the Florida tropical theme. And then I have something I can guarantee I have never had on the podcast before, because I just discovered I liked it on the plane to Florida.
Wow.
So you can thank Air Canada for introducing me to the Crown and Ginger, they called it. So Crown Royal and Ginger Ale.
For sure.
And it's not really what I would normally drink, but it was so tasty.
That is kind of a classic.
So I got home and I had to buy some Crown Royal and Ginger Ale, even though neither one of those things is anything I've ever bought in my life before. So, yeah, it's quite tasty.
There you go. Well, Greg, you've got something to live up to here.
Well, that's the good name. First of all, that's a great name for a tea store, Guarantee.
Wow. And if it was owned by a guy named like Garen, like Garan.
Right, that's right.
Which isn't quite really a name, but it could be a name.
Yeah. Scottish Goran. Fella.
There's Goran.
That's Goran Tea.
Close.
Welcome to Goran Tea.
Well, I did promise 2 weeks ago that I would be breaking out the eggnog, so I am drinking a nice, thick, cold eggnog with a little bit of rum in it.
Wow.
There you go.
I am going to deem you, sir, the purveyor of the nog.
Yes, thank you. Does that come with something? Or do I get a crown or...
Well, you may get an upset stomach about half an hour from now, but...
That's the gift that keeps
just on. Don't jump up and down a lot. And,
okay.
Yeah.
So that's what I've got. What about you, Anthony?
So I am. This is kind of, it's weird because this is an old classic for me, but it's a new spin on an old classic. So for the past couple of years, Jack Daniels, which was kind of like my first foray into liquor when I was younger, other than what you used to drink at parties, which was basically anything you could find.
Right.
My first regular...
Peach schnapps.
Well, yep, no, I did my schnapps, trust
Wildberry,
me.
Wildberry coolers.
I'll never forget, there was a night with my friend Jeff and I and a bottle of peppermint schnapps, and it was just like going into a... You know how you're going into a party, you're sitting to yourself going, you know what, we should really drink all this before we get in there so nobody like Bogarts our peppermint schnapps, man.
Right.
And so
that's gonna happen.
We each like drank half a bottle of peppermint schnapps before going into this party.
Oh.
It was not a good scene. Let's just say my friend Jeff had some Technicolor yawns later that night. So anyway, my regular first, as I got of a certain age and a certain refinement, I was waiting for some jokes or laughs.
Yeah.
Jack Daniels became,
we're still waiting for
Jack
that.
Daniels became my drink. And if you know Jack Daniels at all, you know that if you look at Jack Daniels, it always says number 7 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because it has 7 different recipes that it's gone through over the years in order to get to the current recipe, which is Jack Daniels number 7. Well, over the past couple of years, they have been revisiting some of the old recipes. And so last year, they put out Jack Daniels number 1, Master Distiller Series number 1. This year, they put out Master Distiller Series number 2. And for some reason, I ended up buying 2 different bottles of it at 2 different times, not even thinking that I had it. So I figured that would be a good bottle to enjoy this evening.
Wow, okay.
Yes. So it is Jack Daniels Master Distiller Series number 2. I don't know that it's a very long title and a very long background story, but I figured that was good enough.
No tasting notes this week?
Would you like tasting notes? I mean, it is Jack Daniels. I mean, I can't say that it's one of those, like Jack Daniels, a lot of people are used to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Jack Daniels is a blended whiskey, so it's not the same as a single barrel or something like that.
Right.
Right? Because, I mean, a lot of people are used to thinking about scotch that way, right? They think of like a single malt scotch or something like that. Well, with regards to Jack Daniels, it tends to be, you know. So Master Distiller Series number 2, there's not a lot of fancy tasting notes on it. It's just a special bottling celebrating Jess Motlow, who saw the distillery through Prohibition.
Mm.
Wow.
Okay.
It's Jack Daniels number 2.
All I wanted to know about Jack Daniels and so much more.
Exactly. There you go. From Lynchburg, Tennessee. And if I will say, if you ever get a chance, if you're ever in Lynchburg, Tennessee, you know, just for kicks, you know, you could go to, I've visited the Jack Daniels distillery. It's actually a very nice tour. It's a neat thing. It's really nice. And the only place you can buy liquor in the entire county is in the Jack Daniels gift shop.
Oh, wow.
Really?
It's a dry county.
It's a dry county. You're allowed to drink. You're allowed to have liquor. You're just not allowed to sell liquor.
Hmm.
So if you could buy on the way back into town, you could buy it and no problem.
Sure.
And every worker at the Jack Daniels distillery gets, what is it, a pint every week or two or something like that?
Wow, nobody leaves.
Yes, exactly. It's kind of like the company store.
Yeah.
So there you go. So
great.
There's a holiday story for you folks. When your employer gives you free booze. Or as I call it, free hooch. So we're going to kick things off with the calendar this week.
Love that.
Ticker tick calendar.
Exactly. So when last we left you, we didn't have a lot to talk about other than the fact that last Friday, The Next Step had its season finale. But we're kicking all the way over to tonight as we're recording this, or maybe about an hour ago. This Life has had its season finale.
Or if you're in BC... an hour to go.
Oh, there you go.
Or 2 hours.
Or if you're in Newfoundland and Labrador, it might already be the Ides of December.
Anyway.
Yes. This Life season finale. Go, Greg.
What is there to say without spoiling things? You know, I kind of, this is going to be in my review that's going to be going up on the website tomorrow, but I do have to say that.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Everybody dies and young Fortinbras takes over.
You got it. Spoiler alert.
Woot.
Wow. No, one of the, you know, when I first went to tune into This Life, I wasn't really sure what to expect. I had seen the U.S. Kind of take on a cancer drama with The Big C. So I wasn't really sure because I hadn't seen Nouvelle Address. But I have to say that over the course of this, the 10 episodes, I've been really impressed with the show. Yes, it is about a woman who has cancer, but it's as much about the characters, the family that surrounds her as it is about Natalie Lawson herself. And we saw quite a few changes with these characters over the past season. Natalie's daughters, Emma and Romy, have been going through their own personal stuff. Her sister isn't able to kind of deal with responsibility, and she isn't able to, you know, kind of commit to a relationship with one person. Her brother, who Matthew, and Anthony did a podcast with Rick Roberts, who plays Matthew a few weeks ago. That's kind of he was kind of the most nailed down character, the most grounded character all season. And in the last 2 weeks, we've just kind of seen that character just blow up and have his life crumble around him. So, you know, I don't want to give too much away, other than, you know, Natalie was given a choice at the end of this episode, whether to accept joining a kind of like an experimental drug trial. Spoiler alert! I mean, what do you think? You know, that this, if the show's going to continue on, she's got to commit to that. So
I'm saying no.
Really? Okay. Well.
I'm saying they shoot an alternate ending with her saying no.
Yeah.
He's never seen TV in his life before.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So yeah, I'm hopeful that that there will be a second season for This Life. Of course, that depends on the numbers, and maybe Diane can speak a little to this because she was kind of getting the getting kind of a hint as to the numbers from over the last few weeks. But you know, it always depends on what CBC folks have got in development, and there's quite a few things that they've got lined up. But I'm hopeful that there will be a second season. They certainly, Joseph Kay, the showrunner, certainly didn't wrap up everything nicely. So if this is it for This Life, then there are certainly some threads that have been left dangling. There was a little bit of closure, but certainly not enough to keep fans happy if the show does get canceled.
Yep, you'll have to watch Nouvelle Adresse from now on in order to get the closure you want.
Yeah, that's right, and get that grade 13 French going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So there you go. And like you said, it's one of those things where we hope. I don't even know when they find out anymore. With CBC these days, you've got to think that they are also wondering, with the change in government, is that going to change things for them? Probably not for the worse anymore. I don't think it can get much worse, but obviously that might bode well for a show, because if there may be more funds, because I mean, certainly I would say that the NDP and the Liberals were both saying that they believed in a better funded CBC.
Yeah, I think that's the expectation, is that they'll get more funding. What that means for an individual show is really hard to say. Like sure. Greg said, the ratings haven't been great.
Right.
Neither have Romeo Sections. They've both been in the 200,000s, which is not where you want a show to be. They've fluctuated, so I don't know what to make of that. You know, my personal feeling is that the sample size isn't big enough for minor fluctuations to really mean much. If your show is kind of in the 200,000s, that's not what you want. So,
right.
But that doesn't mean it's not going to get renewed. Intelligence was there, and it got a second season. It didn't get a third, but it did get the second season.
But we have seen in the past, even in the past few years, where CBC has gone through these seasons of stability, where they just want to keep the shows and not change too much.
Absolutely, and I mean, really, they can't be thrilled with the numbers, but they brought back, Michael Tuesdays and Thursdays is coming up in the new year. That you don't bring a show like that back and expect that it's going to get amazing ratings at second go round when it didn't the first go round. So hopefully they will stick by some of these shows and see if they can grow an audience. I think This Life has some potential to grow. It's, like Romeo Section, they're kind of serialized, so it's hard to just jump in, but who knows? Maybe viewers will find it on Netflix or whatever.
Well, exactly. And I'm sure it's going to get another run on CBC at some point as well.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I like Greg, I really liked the show. I also wasn't sure that I was going to be able to stomach a show about somebody dying of cancer, because that is it. At the beginning of the first episode, she knows it's a death sentence. So this isn't like, you're watching thinking, oh, she's going to pluckily beat cancer. I mean, I just finished watching the second last episode, and she, starts writing a column where she's talking about how I'm not going to be an inspiration. I mean, I'm just living my life until I don't anymore, kind of thing.
Right.
But I just find it isn't about her only. It's about the rest of the family too. They're doing a good job of making it a true ensemble. It really, the comparison everybody comes back to is something like a Parenthood.
Right.
It has that sort of vibe to it. And I really like it, so I'm rooting for it.
I really like I watched Parenthood for the first two seasons. And I really, really liked that show until they started talking about until the kids became too much of it. Like, I know the show was called Parenthood and all, but I didn't care about the kids.
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoyed the ensemble cast of the parents and the grandparents. I didn't want to see the kids.
I called This Life Parenthood without the yelling, because what made me go away from Parenthood was they were constantly, it was a style choice, they were constantly talking on top of each other and yelling at each other. And I just found it was not something I really enjoyed watching. So I kind of fled from it for that reason.
So we already kind of mentioned Romeo Section season finale is coming up on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, yeah. And that one's heavily serialized, so it is very difficult to just jump into. They did a blog post recently trying to catch people up, but I mean, honestly, if you haven't seen it up until now, you're not going to watch the season finale.
Just listen to what you said. They did a blog post trying to catch people up. Wow. It's like, geez, I haven't seen this series. I just want to start watching it now. What should I do? I'll read a blog post.
I mean, I think the intention behind it is probably because it is so convoluted.
Yeah.
You really, even if you have been watching, you might want a refresher on what actually it all meant. So I think that's probably the intention behind it. I think it's a good intention.
They did a series of tweets.
Yeah. So I'm rooting for both of these shows. I admire them. I like them. I enjoy them. But, I wish CBC had a big hit out of at least one of them. And unfortunately, that didn't happen.
Right. So also coming up on Sunday, we have the season finale of Blood and Water. on Omni.
And yes, and actually,
I was just going to say, like, that's for those who haven't been listening to the past couple of months when we've been talking about it. That's the half-hour scripted drama
from Omni. It's been announced that that'll be around for a second season. So congratulations to those folks
for sure. And that was one of those when we did originally did the interview with a couple of the cast members a couple of months ago. They were hoping, they were even starting to plot and plan it out, but they weren't sure. And they had a super tight shooting schedule. Like, it sounded like they shot the entire series within like 4 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, weren't they still filming when it was being broadcast? Weren't they still finishing up? I guess they were in the writing room by then. But
they were in the
writing room
thinking about season two, hoping for season two, and kind of thinking about season two already.
Right.
Yeah. And as well, next Tuesday on the 22nd, the series finale of Blackstone, which is a show that I watched about half to two-thirds of season one, and I kind of fell off of it. But it's a show I really want to get back to, because every time I watch that show, it's like I say to myself, this is a show that I need to watch. Like, it's a really, really good show.
Well, when we did the, what did we call it now? The TV Awards. Yes. That was our... we gave that the award of show that, I don't know, I can't remember how you put it. It was Anthony's convoluted wording, but something about
Diane?
The show most worthy of us watching that we haven't quite watched all of yet, kind of thing. Except maybe, he said it much funnier than that.
Maybe that's what I need. That's what we can do for our maybe a special episode 2 weeks from now, is I can do the awards.
Sure.
Maybe. Okay.
We've been talking about that for a while.
Yes, we've been talking about it for a while.
Do it.
Maybe I'll have some time to put the awards together. We'll see
how
that goes.
I think we should do that.
But Blackstone series finale, was that four seasons, Greg, I think?
Five seasons. Yeah. And I'm sorry to see the show go. Again, there's a lot of balls in the air with regard to the storylines on Blackstone. I'm all caught up with it. I really don't know how they're going to finish up everything neat and tidily by the end of this week's episode, or next week's episode. And I think the answer probably is that we're going to, you know, have a lot of things hanging and have to suppose what's going to happen. So
sure. And the great thing about the show is, like, even right back to season one, season two, you could go back onto the APTN website and watch every single episode.
Yeah, they're all still there. So if you haven't caught up on Blackstone, grab a seat and watch it, because it's all there on the APTN website.
And on the 27th of December, a couple of days after Christmas, is the Haven series finale.
Yes, this is the lump of coal that we're getting from the Haven folks, because I have to say that this has been so far the most disappointing season of the show. It's limping into the finale. It's just gone from ludicrous to silly.
wow.
No, I'm just so disappointed in this show, and I loved it at the very beginning, and I stuck through it through thick and thin. And this, what's happening in this final season has just been awful. I don't like what they're having the characters do. I even feel as though even the stars probably were going through this final season thinking to themselves, thank goodness this is over with. Just really, really disappointing. Like I said, silly. William Shatner's in the last handful of episodes, and
really?
It's just, yeah.
This shows how off the radar the show has gotten. I've heard nothing about it. I heard so much when Shatner was on Murdoch Mysteries and every other show he's ever been on,
right.
Heard nothing about Haven lately.
No, he's playing the ultimate bad guy, and it's just plain dumb.
Wow. I lost touch with this show after season two. And I enjoyed it up to that point, and I just kind of lost the timing of it. And I heard that I should go back after season, but like this, I don't know now. Now you've kind of thought, now I think maybe I should maybe go back and watch the third season, but not the fourth?
Yeah, I mean, the first two seasons were definitely the strongest, because they were trying to figure out who the FBI agent was, who Agent Parker was. And then since we found out who she was, the character's morphed into different characters and strange timelines and a barn that people spent time in that was a form of purgatory. Now they were exploring the Croatoan mystery, but they have the characters named Croatoan, and that's who William Shatner plays, a character named Croatoan. Anthony, don't bother, man.
And at some point, Rita McNeil shows up.
That's the only thing missing. And actually, she'd make it better. The ghost of Rita McNeil showed up and took them all away.
Wow.
I don't really understand anything you said, which is probably a
It's a good thing.
I should not be watching.
No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm sorry that I know this much about it. Wow. I'm just sad. It happens with shows. You know, you get more than a few seasons, and yeah. I think you have, you know, they don't know where they want to go with the storylines, and you don't really have an end game,
right.
And that's clearly what's going on here.
However, if you're a big fan of the show, enjoy the series finale.
Enjoy it. Yeah. 27th.
Exactly. There you go. So that wraps up our calendar until the end of December. A couple of stories coming along. First of all, we have a series which is being adapted from a graphic novel, which I've never read, admittedly, called Essex County.
Yeah, I have not read this either. It's called Essex County. It's a book series, graphic novel trilogy by Jeff Lemire. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing his last name right. Pretty sure I got his first name right. it's First Generation Films is developing this for CBC, and Aaron Martin, who he worked on Degrassi, is where he got his start, and since then he's moved on to other things. He just most recently was the showrunner and writer on Super Channel's drama horror series called Slasher that'll be coming up. We think in May of next year. So he has signed on to this. He's becoming a busy guy. He's going to write this pilot script, and he's going to show run the series. Not much more than any development news into this. But again, I think that this is one of the things that the CRTC mentioned earlier this year, is that they wanted to see more books in development. And I'm sure that this is just, I don't think that this is happening because of anything that CRTC has said.
I'm not sure that... that Pierre, what's his name again? Blaise? Same Jean-Pierre? Is that his
yeah,
name? Anyway, yeah. I don't think graphic novels is what he considers literature.
No. But like I said, you know, this is just the latest literary piece that's being developed, because we already talked about Cardinal, and then Diane, you talked about the other book that's being developed. So a lot of books being made into TV shows.
And you know what? There's a long tradition now of graphic novels and comics being, even not necessarily in terms of superhero comics, but just in terms of some of the, dramatic stories being made into television shows. And it seems to work best when they keep the creator of the original source material on board to some degree. Because then at least there might be a vision. In some cases, it's not even a graphic novel, it's a comic book series. Like I think about The Walking Dead, for instance. And there is intrinsic tie-ins with the actual comic book series and the show. And even though there's a little bit of derivation, they've kept the original series creator or the original comic creator involved, because he obviously understands the characters the best, the story the best. And if they just kind of make it based on something and try and run with it, sometimes it goes a bit far afield. So,
yeah, and one of the interesting things, and I hadn't thought about this until I was talking to the folks that were involved with Gotham, you know, a comic book is basically like a storyboard. And, sure. You can easily translate that into a movie or a television series, because you basically have a shot-by-shot, storyline that you're working with. And that'll be the case with this, I'm sure.
For sure. So there you go, some interesting stuff. And I'm guessing that, I mean, this is just option, basically. Like, this is how early this is. There's a chance we might not be seeing anything about this for at least a couple of years, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, purely at the development stage.
Yeah, hasn't even... will be signed to pen the pilot script.
Yeah,
that's it. That's how early days we are on this. And some not-so-good news coming up for the fans of Bitten. And they are a rabid bunch.
They are.
Yes.
So well done, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So they just, it's funny because Britain had just finished filming its third season. I guess it was a couple of weeks ago they wrapped, and so now they're in the editing suites putting it together because it's returning on February the 12th, and that will be the final season for the show. Season 3, 10 episodes, delves into the theme of duty versus family, guys.
Sorry, did you say duty?
Duty, yes. Werewolves, duty, yes, okay. Absolutely. Thank you very much.
He's here all week, folks.
Yes.
I just had to take a big drink of my Crown and Ginger. Make it without groaning.
So the show's had a good run. I'm not sure what the ratings have been like, but I got to feel as though this seems a little early to me to be pulling the plug on a show like Bitten. I know that there are diehard fans out there. And what the interesting thing is, even, you know, after this announcement was made, even the executive producers and the stars were sending out tweets about howl for more, hashtag howl for more, right. You know, suggesting that they certainly aren't done with it, even though Space and Bell Media might be done with it, and that perhaps the project maybe get shopped around. And, you know, of course, names like Netflix get kicked around pretty quickly once a show gets canceled.
And I suspect it was the states that pulled the plug on it, and so Bell decided that they weren't going to continue without them. But, you know, hopefully it does get new blood in it.
Yeah.
New life in it. Well, there's another website, TV.com, I think it was. They sent out that tweet saying, did you forget Bitten existed? Well, that's probably why this is its last season. I just thought, oh, don't say that online. They do have rabid fans.
They do.
they're gonna get all over you for saying that.
But, they do. By the way, you know what we forgot to talk about, Greg?
What's that?
Wasn't it after the last episode that we mentioned you were still leaving the poll open? And did we never talked about the results on the podcast, did we?
No, actually, I guess we didn't. No, we didn't talk about the results of the poll.
So should we spend like a minute or two talking about the, because we spent like a big chunk of the last episode on it, and it seems like we should, for people who don't go to the website but maybe listen to the podcast.
Yes.
Are there people like that?
There are.
I can't believe that happens.
I know.
Yeah, absolutely. So by the time the tally was taken, we had 27,000 people vote, which is fantastic. But the top vote getter was Dark Matter with 27% of the vote, and number two was Lost Girl with 25% of the vote. Number three was Killjoys at 21%, Heartland at 4% with 20%, and Murdoch Mysteries in fifth place with 10% of the votes.
Now, this was weird because I think you shut down the voting a couple days after, like we talked last time, like maybe on the Wednesday or something like that.
Yeah, what happens is, and it's kind of funny and ironic because I had lunch with a couple of friends and we were talking about how somewhat easy it is for people to get in and kind of bot these polls.
Yeah.
And so I did pull the plug on the poll a day or two early just because there were some numbers that weren't really adding up. There were a couple of shows that were really jumping up in the ratings pretty quickly. So the numbers were looking a little strange there. But it didn't really make that much of a difference. There were only two shows that really were affected by those numbers. And of course, you have people say that, you know, you should throw those numbers out. And, you know, but the whole point of the poll was to have a little bit of fun and to vote for your favorites. So, you know.
The people who think you should throw out the results are the ones who think the results mean something.
Yes.
Yeah.
like they're not going to bring back a show because it topped our poll.
No, I'm. Hey,
No, hang on for a sec. I think that's what we committed to, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I was making it. I'm making tinfoil trophies that I'm going to drop off to the showrunners of these shows. No, and you know, I was accused of listening to some fans and to some people on some shows, and you know, none of that was true. And as Diane knows, it's easy to get in there and mess with a poll if you're really a diehard fan. I was just happy to see a nice mixture of voting in there. I mean, the polls that we've held over the last year or so since I've been involved in the website, Murdoch Mysteries has pretty much always run away with it. So it was really nice to see some other shows move into the top 10. You look at a show like Tornado Hunters, which just debuted back in November, and it ended up being the number 7 show in the poll. So.
Right.
I'm pretty happy with that.
All I can say is, if no offense to the poll itself, but if someone spent their time writing up a bot in order to game our TVA poll, really
too much time on their hands.
Really, someone needs to maybe get a bit of a life. I'm just saying.
Agreed.
Yes, I'm just saying. I mean, don't get me wrong.
But your evil genius to good work.
Don't get me wrong. You're probably a fine, fine person. But, you know, in that the 10 minutes that you thought to yourself, hey, I'm gonna come up with this thing. Well, look at that. Oh, look at the votes go up. And, you know, you were giggling to yourself. Well, no, don't worry about it next time. Just seriously. Seriously? Really? You know, just go put down your anonymous mask and figure something out. That's all I'm saying. So there you go. So the results are in, and just to get back to kind of frame the entire little segment there, and Bitten's been canceled.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. So there you go. Although, is the hashtag thing still going on? Like, should fans still, like, attack people?
Well, I mean, you can...
Fans should express their displeasure to Greg underscore...
Wow.
kidding.
Thanks so much.
Kidding. Yes.
So the last story of the week. Yeah.
Sit back. Fill up your drinks.
So it's not normal that I have a rant on here and that I have it about something that I care. So, maybe Greg, maybe you want to introduce the concept, because since I'm going to be ranting on it, it doesn't make sense for me to introduce it as well.
Well, okay. So I get to set you up.
Yes.
To you?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you can throw it as hard as you want to, because I'm still going to knock this one out of the
park. Sure. Well, I mean,
I'm just warning you, Diane, there may be F-bombs involved.
Wow.
Go for it.
Not for me. but from me, because I was, I, Anthony has made it well known his thoughts on this and the fact that CHCH was a big part of his life and CHCH was a big part of my life growing up and still is. But, the news came down on Friday. We started seeing that there were some tweets from Greg O'Brien over at cart.ca was the first person that I saw.
Who lives in Hamilton, by the way.
Yes. And he was tweeting that something major was going down with CHCH and it was not good news. At 4 o'clock Eastern time, they made it official that Channel Zero, who's the parent company for CHCH, they're going to be restructuring and they're going to be cutting down their local news. And I think, I don't have the number right in front of me, but I believe it was from 85 hours of original programming or 85 hours of news programming, they were cutting down to 17 and a half. The president of Channel Zero talked about advertising, and I'll kind of leave this up to you, Anthony, because I'm actually not as well versed in that as you probably are, because you know a little bit more about that whole angle. But the morning live, which is a weekly program that started up, and I think it was 4 o'clock in the morning, because when I couldn't sleep.
Yeah, that was the super early morning live.
yeah. They were on before any other local news was. Because I know that the BT in Toronto started at 5:30, and then these guys started at 4, which trumped them. They are being cut back. Not only did they get rid of one of the co-hosts, but they also have cut the show back, and now it's going to be starting at 7 a.m. Mark Hebscher's two programs, Square Off and Sportsline, were both cut. What they've been airing lately are reruns of 2020 all day long when they're not airing. There's like a syndicated show with one of those American judges, and they're going to have their news at 6 p.m. and 11 p.m., but that's basically it. I did notice that there were some repeats of the Pinkertons on there, but also I'm not really sure what that means for a show like Winona Earp. Which is, they're currently working.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, they're currently working on that in Calgary, and CHCH was going to be broadcasting that. So I'm not sure how that's going to affect the future of that show. But
CHCH seemed like kind of the little Canadian cousin of that one. Like, I think it'll be fine without the Canadian partner.
Right, yeah. I guess it's not so much the future of the show that I worry about. It's the fact that we may not be able to see it here in Canada. Yeah. Unless another broadcaster steps in, which I don't know how that works. But, yeah, definitely sad to see all the tweets from the people that used to work there, guys like Matt Hayes tweeting out about his experiences there and everything. But, yes, Anthony, because you live in Hamilton and you have a strong connection with that channel, that's kind of the setup. So go ahead.
So, yeah, so a little bit of history, and people, just for people who want to know the kind of impact of CHCH, I mean, it's not necessarily a huge, well-known channel, but it is. A lot of people do know about it. It came on the air in 1954 originally as a CBC affiliate, and then in 1961 it disaffiliated itself with the CBC and became an independent station. And they, for a long, long time, were one of the prime independent stations across the country. Like, you can pick up CHCH, you could for a long period of time out in Vancouver. I don't know whether you still get it or not.
No.
But you don't have a cable package right now, so it's...
You can't get it here unless you just look online.
Right. But up until, I would say, the 80s or 90s, because I remember when I was in Vancouver for Expo 86, I remember one of the things that we were able to do in our hotel room was be able to get CHCH. And at the time, we thought, oh, that's cool. That was a neat thing. So there was a period of time where even though it was an independent station, you could still get it all over the place. And it was the home of some fantastic programming, such as the hilarious House of Frightenstein. Just saying.
Yes, which is why, which explains why I didn't believe you that that existed.
Exactly.
And
I didn't get that in my Edmonton days.
Did Red Green start out there, or was that just Smith & Smith that started out on CH?
Smith & Smith for sure. I'm not sure about Red Green. It's quite possible it might have.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure. It became kind of a superstation back in 1982, because CanCom, which is now Shaw, carried the station and three others, which included CHAN, Chan in Vancouver, and CITV in Edmonton, and a station in Montreal, and basically turned it into a mini network. Then for a while it became On TV, and some people might remember that from 97 through 2001. Then Global bought it up in 2000, and Global owned it for a period of, about 5 to 6 years or so. It was kind of a CanWest Global thing. And then they left, and before they sold it, CHCH for years was one of the most well-equipped. People used to come to CHCH for training. The television operators, because they'd been there for so long, because it was an independent station, you had some of like the best camera operators in the country, people who were almost legendary in some of the technical fields for CHCH, who'd been around for like 40 or 50 years even. When Global left, they took every piece of equipment almost out the door with them, and they left them with almost nothing. And so Channel Zero comes in 2009 and buys the station, I think, for $1. They bought CHCH and CJNT in Montreal from CanWest for $12 in cash.
Wow.
And basically assumed, you know, probably the debt and whatever and all of that stuff. Here's the problem, though, and this is where it gets into more of the modern day. When they bought CHCH, they created a shell company called CHCH Limited, essentially. And they created CHCH Limited. They came in and they started originally, the network was showing like a whole bunch of really old movies, like public domain movies from like the 1930s, which like you can get like 150 of them for like $19.99 at an Amazon deals site or something like that. They showed those for like years and years and years. And then they decided they were going to become a kind of a super news station, like Hamilton's news station. And for the past few years, they've been showing like 16 hours a day of local news. Admittedly, when you show that much news, you don't have to buy other shows. So you're not necessarily losing a lot of money to buying up American shows because they didn't have many of those. And to be fair, they were recycling a lot of local news. So even though you can say it's expensive to produce news, you know, they were trying to do it basically on a shoestring. These were news people who were not making tons of money. This is what happens on Friday. All of a sudden, tweets start to come out that night, Friday night's news broadcast is canceled. Like, when have you ever heard that on a television station before, that the 6 o'clock news that night is canceled?
Right.
And so the 6 o'clock news is canceled. We're going to have an announcement at 4 p.m., The announcement comes on at 4 p.m. It's the CEO of Channel Zero, who on tape, you've got a news network that is almost live 16 hours a day showing news, and this guy from Toronto couriers over a tape to be played, saying that they're going to be restructuring, they're going to be cutting back a whole bunch, and as of 4 o'clock, all news is canceled for the rest of the weekend, and they will refigure it out on Monday. There are live people on the air when they cut to this tape. When they came back from the tape, they started showing CHCH promos for half an hour. They literally stopped as of that minute and went off the air for all of its news. This is the most disappointing thing about it. They had about 200 employees, full-time and part-time, tied to CHCH. All of them were let go. Absolutely all of them were let go. You may have heard that CHCH still has some employees. Well, what they did was they let everybody go. CHCH, not Channel Zero, but CHCH Limited, declared bankruptcy. And because they declared bankruptcy, they now no longer have to follow the union rules based on seniority, and they don't have to hire back anybody based on seniority. And because they are in bankruptcy, they got to invite back whoever they wanted to at whatever salary they wanted to invite them back at.
Mm.
And so out of the original 200, you've got somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 or 60 who are coming back. And some people have just been cut out completely. Anybody who they felt was making too much money because they'd been around for too long, they just completely cut out. And for those people who came back, you can't blame them. They've been told one day they're losing their jobs and they're being invited back to a job. You can't blame them for coming back to the job. And Channel Zero was trying to say, well, we're paying them almost as much as we paid them before. Well, that's not the point. You're doing it so that you can actually get rid of people. Beyond that, there was absolutely, even though back pay and vacation pay was paid to everybody, there was absolutely no severance given to anybody.
Right.
So the information which came out today was, further information coming out. Former employees are still owed $1.62 million by the bankrupt company. And what they're saying right now is that the Channel 11 Limited Partnership, which is this offshoot shell corporation of Channel Zero, is saying that there will be virtually no assets left to be distributed to the unsecured creditors. And the biggest block of unsecured creditors are the employees. So this is a total shell game. It is a total screw job of the employees. And you have to think, too, that not only is CHCH an independent, but because it's got mandatory carriage, it's also a free-to-air station. And how many free-to-air stations do you know of in the Toronto area that are not in Toronto? And I can't think of any anymore. Are there any free-to-air stations out of Niagara anymore? I can't think of any.
No.
Hamilton's got a Cable 14 station, which is, your typical cable channel that's put together of all the cable affiliates. But that's not free-to-air. And so Hamilton, which is a city of 500,000 people, is losing a lot of their free-to-air coverage of news. Which, don't get me wrong, if the station just redistributed stuff and did it according to the rules and laid people off, did it according to seniority, it still would have been sad. The fact that they were complete assholes in the process of doing it is a different story altogether. So there are people who basically worked 30 years and they were shown out the door. Some people for more than 30 years and they were shown out the door. Personalities which people have known their entire lives and have been shown out the door. And there's this huge outpouring. Even people who didn't necessarily love the station. And I didn't watch CHCH a lot in recent years, except for watching news, because that's pretty much what was on it. But even people who don't necessarily love the station understand how much the company was screwing them over. And that's really the problem here. And a lot of this is being blamed on the fact that, if you remember a couple of years ago, and I think Diane and I, we talked about it a few years back. Remember we talked about the local fund that came from the federal government? And when that got cut, that was a huge hit to stations like CHCH, because Hamilton, being in a city over 500,000 people, now doesn't qualify for that.
Yeah, it was called the Local Programming Improvement Fund, and it was cut a few years ago. So that used to be, it says $106 million to local broadcasters in 2011.
And because they're part of mandatory carriage, they don't get subscription fees. So they were trying to coast along. The CHCH company is saying it has less than $60,000 in assets and $4.5 million in liabilities. And we all know how the books can be shifted around. So it's a slap in the face to not just Hamiltonians, who had come to really appreciate the fact that we had this local news source, which was free to air and which you could watch. You know, in Hamilton, if you licked your finger and stuck it up in the air, you could use it as an antenna and get CHCH most of the time. That's how strong the signal was, because there's a huge TV tower in the east end of the city that would broadcast the station far and wide. It is a real slap in the face to one of the last remaining independents. As far as I can tell, there are only two other real independent TV stations in the country right now, a country of over 33 million people, and we have two independent stations left. Well, CHCH is still considered independent, but there's two others beyond that. There's one in Victoria, apparently, and I don't know what the call sign is for it. And there's also one in Leamington, Ontario, which I'm guessing is a very local one just outside of Windsor.
I know the Victoria one. I can't actually remember. I think it's CHGK. Yes. But, and they have had affiliations over the years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and I don't have the brain power to make this connection, but, I mean, Bell, announced profits and then they laid off a bunch of people. Like, it feels like we complain about the silos, but the silos are the only thing that are still standing, which, you know, it's a bit depressing to think that we're going to end up with basically three broadcasters in the country and they will own everything.
Well, but the other side of the silos that we often don't talk about are the fact that the silos drive the prices up to the point where the independents can't compete. Because if it wasn't for the silos going and bidding tons of money on shows, then the independents could actually afford to bid for them.
Mm.
So if you had a whole bunch of little independent channels, and plus beyond that, they'd be forced to start to create their own content, because CHCH for years, all through my childhood back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, created their own content. You know, there were game shows that were on every single day and every night that were CHCH productions. I remember Pay Cards. I remember Party Game, which was a charades show. And they were all shot at CHCH. You know, there was a version of Tiny Talent Time that was shot at CHCH.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not talking necessarily about, you know, high-end network programming, but we're talking about shows that people loved. And to this day, they still remember those shows. So it's a sad day in Hamilton. It was a sad day on Friday, and the news is still coming out. And the only positive thing that I can say about it, the only positive thing I can say, is that I can't imagine that these are stories that won't be told when this has happened to a bunch of broadcasters. At some point, people have been taking to social media. People have been recording. Matt Hayes, who has been for over 30 years tied to the station, also does a radio gig every morning in Hamilton. And he had a really touching kind of almost monologue on his radio show this morning, talking about how he felt with the outpouring of support that came from the community as well. So. If you're in the Hamilton area, it's a sad day. And if you're, Channel 11 and CHCH will still go on, but it's one of those situations whereby I can tell you that I will never watch the channel again with any of the same interest that I watched it before. And I certainly don't blame the talent that's still there. You know, you're offered a job, especially around this time of year, and you got to take the job. But I really feel absolutely no respect or sympathy for the owners at this point. Rant.
It's a sad Hamilton story, but it's also, you know, it's generating multiple think pieces about what it means for broadcasting in Canada. So yes. I think it's probably a bit sad for the rest of Canada as well.
Yeah. If you're interested at all, we've talked about. I'm just trying to remember his name. Steve Fagey. Who writes his blog at fagstein.com, wrote an article back on Friday called The Day Local TV Died. And you can find it on his blog.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the podcast notes. I'll put a link to his piece in there.
Yeah, and it's really good. He actually pulls in some tweets by some of the people, pulls in some comments by the mayor, pulls in the full page ad by CHCH put out today by the chairman and CEO of Channel Zero, saying, for the last 60 years, CHCH has been the station that provided a voice to the greater Hamilton community, and then a full page of text. Thank you for your patience and continued support.
Yeah, and they've been running that video piece. They were running it this morning, like when Morning Live was supposed to start, then they replayed that videotape that you were talking about, and it looks as though they've been doing that throughout the day. When the regular programming was supposed to air, then he would pop up.
Anyway. I want to get off of this. I've said my piece. I'm going to jump off.
Is your blood pressure rising?
Yes, that's why I need some more Jack Daniels number two. Greg, where can you be found when you're not hanging out here in the TVA universe once every couple of weeks?
I can be found writing for the website, tveh.com, and co-manning the Twitter feed, which you can follow at TV_EH, and I also have my own Twitter feed, which is at Greg_David.
There you go. Diane, how about you?
I also help out with the TVA website at TV-EH.com and TV_EH, and I'm on Twitter myself at DEKAYW. I have to think about that, though.
It's been a week.
I still have vacation brain until like 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Uh-huh.
And where can you be found, Anthony?
All of my other podcasts can be found at anthonymarco.com. You can find me on Twitter at Anthony Marco. And if you haven't listened to the last TV ABC's episode yet, please go listen to it. It was kind of a dual interview with Erica Durance and Adam Peddle from Saving Hope, talking a little bit about their upcoming Christmas episode, which should be actually coming out this week, I think.
And, it was last Thursday, but
it was
you can
last
still,
Thursday. There you go.
Yeah, you can still check it out on the CTV website.
Yes, you can still check it out. Go listen to that episode, and you can even listen to us the smooth transition as Erica had to go back to the set. you can listen to all of that, and please go to our Patreon page. And if you feel like you want to, I can't use the term "keep the heat on" in the winter anymore because it's not that cold. Keep the air conditioning on in the winter? Does that make better sense? I don't
keep
know.
Keep the lights on. Keep the lights on.
Wow.
Keep the lights on. Well, and we got a new patron who, I'm just looking up what his name might be. I don't know if he made it public, but he basically said his reason for donating is he wants me to get a mic booster because I'm too soft-spoken compared to you guys.
Yes.
So, yes. Now, and now my headset is gone, so maybe I need to invest in a better headset. Right?
Yes, I think so. Mm-hmm. By the way, keep looking. Someday you will find online new episodes of Hardwood and Wicked Beaver. That's all I'm saying.
Great.
And that wraps up another episode for this week. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.